Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and my friend Jay Thorne. Hi, Jay.
Happy New Year, Rachel.
Happy New Year.
We were so lucky this year to get episodes on Christmas and New Year's Day.
Exactly. I think that's really cool, especially for people who might actually be listening on those days.
Yes.
Which they do.
They do, apparently. We heard.
We got comments on Christmas. So... That is awesome. Well, we're going to be talking about the new year and some questions, as you may have guessed. But how was your holiday?
It was nice.
Yeah.
We did a little family visiting, and you know, it's okay. There are good things and bad things about that, but.
And this was your second year without your dad, right?
Yeah, and it was harder this year than it was last year.
Last year, you were still in shock.
Yep. No one was really thinking about it. It was kind of survival mode. And this was the year where we really felt his absence. So it was, you know, it was bittersweet. It was good to see my mom and it was good to see my wife's family. But, you know, it was a little hard, but it was good. How was yours?
It was personally, it was very nice. It was sweet. Hung out with a little bit of family and went to see Little Women, which is just one of the best movies that's ever been made. And you should go see it. You will love it. You will love it. It's about being a writer. It's so good.
Is it new?
It's brand new. It just came out on Christmas Day. It's the Greta Gerwig version.
Okay.
It's brilliant. It's 100% enjoyable. I think there's nothing wrong with the movie. But professionally, it was an absolute shit show because it's really the day that RWA, Romance Writers of America, imploded on itself like the Death Star.
Yeah. What are you at liberty to discuss? I know you're involved in the organization, so.
I'm at liberty to say whatever the hell I want. Burn it all down. Cute. Well, just briefly, I'll talk about it more on my show, but briefly, RWA has been a very important organization to me, even though I don't write romance anymore. It's my organization. It's my community. And I'm on the board of my local chapter, and we have in a united way been making a very concerted effort to become more inclusive and to see our own failings in that way. But nationally, some white ladies made a complaint about an author of color being mean to them on Twitter when Courtney Milan called this one woman's 1996 book racist because it was, made a formal complaint against her to RWA, which RWA National Board formed a secret ethics committee to decide this against Courtney Milan. Nobody knows who was on it. They didn't use their standing ethics committee. Fully unprecedented. They formed a secret one, a new secret one, and found against her, censured her, kicked her out of the out of RWA, suspended her from RWA for a year, and said that she could no longer serve on a board. After public outcry of this abject racism, they immediately backpedaled. But by then, the standing president had stepped down, as she should. And the newly elected president, the president-elect at that point, is now Damon Swade, who's fully shady in so many ways. If you do not know about this, Jay, I'd love to give you a link to one of the like really good capsule bullet pointed, you know, everything that has happened in the last 5 days. And it just seems like a coup of some racist homophobic muffuckers. Even, you know, Damon is gay, but, and I don't care if this is me speaking as me.
Yeah.
I will not stay in the organization if, an entirely new board and staff is not appointed. And there are many, many people that, stand with me. My whole board stands with me. We're taking it to our membership next week at our meeting. Hopefully they will also stand with us. There's disaffiliation talk for a lot of people, but we don't want to give our money to RWA National if we disaffiliate. So like, what does that look like? It is 100% completely gutting. It's a long, in the romance world, it's like 2016 was. Suddenly everybody has a position and they all hate each other.
Wow.
And of course I think I'm right in that we need to create inclusive spaces that are safe for marginalized writers to occupy. And so, we failed that spectacularly.
So what I'm not clear on the status then of the organization. There is a president now or there's not?
There is a president. He stepped up after the standing president stepped down. We called for her resignation, his as president-elect and the executive director. He and the executive director are refusing to step down. People who have complained to RWA that they disapprove of this have been stripped of their voting rights immediately, without asking to be canceled from the organization. Like, all of these shady, like, midnight things have been happening at the office. So they can't vote in the recall if they complained and were stripped of this. Like, it's the shadiest shit ever. And what did your question make me think of? And the next day, this incredibly diverse board that was so awesome to have, the majority of them stepped down. So now there's only 6 out of the 16 left in positions of power. The 3 staff and elected officials and 3 board members, I know at least one of whom sides with the original white women who issued the complaint that Courtney was being mean on Twitter. That's really all they got her on, because she didn't break any other rules. She just made them feel bad on Twitter. That's it. And then, of course, it was said that they couldn't do that. And this is a gross simplification. Yeah. There's so many nuances to this. And we may lose readers right now who do not stand with Courtney Milan. But if you do stand for having inclusive spaces in writing and not being racist, then you're on my side. We don't want to be racist, and we want to examine our unconscious biases and unpack all those things. And it's a shit show, and it's really, really heartbreaking.
That's very sad. I claim total ignorance. I know nothing about this. I'm not on any of like the K boards or the Facebook groups or any. I don't know anything about it. I just caught wind from an email and a friend that there was something burning down, and it was RWA.
Down. I got it from my wife, because I don't look at social media anymore. I just look at Instagram, and she told me Twitter's, you know, aflame right now. You better go check it out. And so I've been unable to look away from Twitter for a week. But right. So, and you know, on this show, I'm speaking as myself. I'm not speaking as a representative of San Francisco RWA. However, I will say that all the board members, we just got off a 2-hour call together of what we're going to take to our membership. So yeah, it's fucked.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my week. That's really been my week. There's been a lot of emotional stress and labor and all of this stuff. But I'm very happy to move into the new year. And I'm also very happy to share a couple of new patrons with you.
Cool.
How about that? Leanne Beckett just edited her pledge up to the amount where you get to hang out in our Slack group.
Shout out Monroeville, PA, my hometown. That's where Leanne is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that was your hometown either. And Jana Floyd. Lovely Jana upped her pledge too. So
thank you, ladies.
Really, really nice things to do. And we appreciate it. And actually, I think this one might have just come in while we were talking. Hold, please. just like my particular patron and not ours. But it's also at the level at which, at the $10 level, you get to come hang out in our Slack. And let's thank Jennifer Moore, too. Oh,
thanks, Jennifer.
Fabulous. And if you'd like to check out any of those perks, nobody's taken us up on our $100 perk, which
our compliment.
Really fun.
Compliment level.
Our compliment level and our promoting you level. That's everything is over at the patreon.com/thewriterswell.
Nice. So, yeah. Hey, before we get into the comments, I wanted to give a quick update on an experiment that I launched here 1 year ago. And I don't know how many listeners are going to remember this, but right around this time last year, I decided to write a post a week. And then I was going to multi-purpose the content. So it was going to be...
I can't believe it's been a year.
Can you believe that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So the idea was I was going to write these kind of short, succinct, thematic posts. I was going to narrate them as a podcast, post them on LinkedIn, post them on Medium, post graphics on Instagram.
YouTube, I think. Weren't you doing YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's right. Started in YouTube, related YouTube video. Well, slowly over the months, things started getting shaved off as I saw really no interest in certain areas. So I'm not on Instagram. I wasn't on other than to post these. That clearly doesn't work. Like, if you're not engaging in a social media platform, forget it. I don't enjoy social media, so I gave up on Instagram. I saw nothing on LinkedIn. You can look at some of the metrics of what gets read. So quit that. Same with YouTube. No views on YouTube. Quit doing that. Now, granted, I know it takes a long time to build audiences in different places, but the big tell for me was the podcast. The podcast was extremely disappointing given the fact that I have like 18 other podcasts and like I have an audience and people do listen to me. And so that was like a direct apples to apples comparison.
Yes.
And that was just not, it was not going anywhere. So I did finish the year. I bundled all the essays into a collection. I'm going to put up on Amazon. There's a pre-order. There'll be a pre-order link in the show notes. And what I've decided to do is moving into 2020, I'm going to continue to write those types of things, but I'm going to do it monthly, more like sort of what you're doing, with your Patreon essays, a deeper dive on a monthly basis.
So cool.
Yeah. Because I found that the week to week is really hard to keep
it
up.
Is.
Like, I don't know how Seth Godin does it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. but even on a weekly basis, to come up with something meaningful to say, something you haven't said before.
That's my problem.
Hard.
I always want to say the same thing over and over again. And yeah. I know that there is value in that, but after a while, oh gosh.
Yes. And that's kind of what I was running into. I wasn't tired of writing. I was just like, I felt like I was kind of going retreading the same stuff where I feel like, okay, if I've got 12 essays over a year, now I can like really go deep on something and not have to skim the surface on 52 topics. That's a big difference.
Are you going to use the Patreon platform to disseminate those?
No, I don't think so. Email? I'm just going to put them up as posts, as free posts for now. And then I think at the end of next year, I'll have enough to bundle for another collection of essays. So it'll still get repurposed. But yeah, it's just going to be like instead of being 800 to 1,000 word essays weekly, they're going to be 3,000 to 4,000 words monthly. So it'll
That's
be
exactly
the same.
What I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to give our listeners an update because I know that was kind of an experiment and people were curious as to how it was working out, and that's how.
Congratulations on finishing the experiment.
Thanks.
And I've really enjoyed getting the letters every week.
Thank
You've
you.
Been remarkably diligent.
Thank you. Well, I love your monthly essay, so I'm kind of using those as a template.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get into comments for episode 155. The question was, what would life be like without your significant other? And this was a holiday flavored softball love fest. So it was great to have people chime in, of course, starting with Christopher. Leanne Beckett, our new patron from Monroeville, PA, was in there. Shalina chimed in. I love that she said, the thing I'd miss the most is screaming, "I freaking love you" at the end of our debates.
Oh.
I love that too. I like how she called them debates instead of fights. That's good.
Debates. I have fights.
Yeah. Jeff chimed in, talking about his husband, how great it was, for those two to find each other. Who else was in here? Oh, Maggie talked about, witnessing her daughter and her soulmate in town for the holidays. That was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny said her husband's her best friend. Same with Eliza, which I thought was great.
A lot of people said this.
Yeah.
Jeff said it.
Yep. Yeah. Kim Barton said it too. Kim Barton was also standing with me and said she is never going down the child rearing path again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mary Lasher. What a great post that Mary wrote about the heart attack that her wife had. Was it right before Thanksgiving? I think she said
the day after Thanksgiving. And they were, I want to say they were up in the snow and she had to be helicoptered out. Mary writes a beautiful blog and she's a beautiful writer. I've worked with her multiple times and I consider her a friend. And she left a link in there about that and about what it felt like to have your partner, you know, to almost lose your partner in that widowmaker kind of heart attack. And it's beautiful. So if anybody hasn't looked at thewriterswell.org, go to, you know, this episode and episode 155 and check out that post. I really, really got so much.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah. It was
made
great.
Me cry.
Yeah. It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Yep. Chris chimed in and Diane and Edwin and Anne-Marie. And Anne-Marie had a great Anne Lamott quote, and she said, "A good marriage is one in which each spouse secretly thinks they got the better deal, and this is true also of our friendships."
Is that not the best?
So, yeah, great quote.
I do think I got the better deal, and Mala always says that I'm out of her league, and I think the same thing about my friendships. Like, you're out of my league,
Oh, come on.
And that, I think that's a beautiful way to look at it. If you both feel lucky in the relationship, dude, bam.
Yeah.
Home run.
Yep. Good stuff. So those are great comments. Thanks everyone for keeping them coming. Thoroughly enjoy it, and really good stuff. It appears as though everyone's life would be very different without their significant other.
And I was really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for your questions?
I think so. Because you said questions.
I say question this time. We've got like a rapid fire 1, 2, 3 of them.
Okay.
And we've already spent a lot of time talking, so maybe I will just lob these at you one in a row.
All right.
Here we go. What do you wish you'd done better last year?
I wish I would have written more fiction. That's it. There were a lot of reasons why the fiction production was down, and why it will probably be down for me in the next couple of years moving forward. Talked a lot on the Career Author about sort of a slow pivot towards more of a nonfiction teaching platform versus primarily fiction. Not giving up on fiction. Will always write it for the rest of my life. But I've kind of come to the realization over the past year that I think my purpose here is helping others through teaching and empowering them to tell stories that are inside of them. And I'm embracing that. I've pushed it away for so long, and have given up sort of this idea that I have to be just a fiction writer. And it's been great. It's been so freeing, because it means now I can focus on the writing that seems to be getting the most amount of traction. I don't have to give anything up.
That's fabulous. I love that answer. I think I will answer in order too, so we don't have to go back through them again. Of course, the thing I wish I had done better last year was write more fiction. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
For kind of the same reason, I have always felt like if I could step, there's no need for me to step into anybody else's shoes. You know, Elizabeth Gilbert is a really good Elizabeth Gilbert, but I think that the way she inspires people with her nonfiction and writes incredible fiction, that's kind of where I want to be too. So yeah. I'm also doing a lot of that, and the nonfiction has been pulling at me, and the fiction is always hard for me to get to. So I wish I had written more fiction. Unlike you, I think I'm going to move very hard forward in the, and I already am moving forward in writing more of it next year.
Are you? So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit, maybe less nonfiction. I'm balancing myself a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to try this here. Okay. Next question. What are you most proud of about yourself from last year?
What am I most proud of? I'm most proud of launching my mastermind group. And I think I'm most proud of that because it was one of the few things that I did by myself in 2019, not with you or not with Zach or anyone else. Yeah. Not that that's the reason, but it was a huge risk and a completely unknown and something completely new. And I had no one else to rely on, no one else to help me with it. And it seems to be successful. It's, you know, going to be starting up the third session pretty soon. I'm building out a whole service around the book I wrote about masterminds, which will be coming out in a few months. And I think that's what I'm most proud of, just because I know it was the biggest risk I took this year, 2019.
That is a beautiful thing.
Thanks.
The thing I am most proud of, and this is not really related to writing, but it's everything related to writing, is that I stayed sober.
Yes.
Congratulations. Through every freaking minute.
Yeah.
I often have relapse dreams, and I always wake up with like, oh God, I've got to start my sobriety count all over again. And then this relief comes. No, I'm still sober. And it's been 22 months. So,
wow. That's awesome.
And it has changed everything in my life for the better.
Yeah.
Everything.
And I'll bet other than the dreams, you've probably broken all of the habits and behaviors and stuff, right?
Yep. I was a little bit worried about Christmas, but that it was my second Christmas, but it was literally not an issue. I'm a tiny bit worried about going away with my two best friends this weekend to see our third best friend in Pittsburgh, where I'll be teaching.
Yep.
Because we were always real big drinkers around each other.
Oh.
And I'm having fun. And I just know that it is something I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I will not drink. They wouldn't let me drink if I wanted to. They're those kind of friends, right? But I'm going to hit a meeting and make sure that I get support around
good.
That. But that'll be, that feels like almost my last My last test will be losing somebody really important to me. And if I can get through that, but you know what? I don't have to get through that today. You get through it one day at a time.
Yeah. And you will.
To be trite. Oh, thank you. Thanks for that. Okay. Last question. This is from Hippie Rachel on the West Coast. What is your intention for your new year?
My intention is focus.
Okay, that came really quickly to you.
Yeah, it's been something I've been thinking about. I recently read, this book came out in 2013, so it's not like brand new, but do you know Gary Keller of Keller Williams Realty?
I know the Realty
company. Yeah, everyone knows the Realty because they're the biggest realty company in the world.
I just thought they were like Bay Area local. I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Gary Keller is one of the founders, and he wrote a book in 2013 called The One Thing. And
I remember when that came out.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been studying. I've read it twice. I've never done this with. I read probably 2 to 3 self-help, motivational, educational books a week. And
oh my God, that's a lot.
Yeah, I do. I read a ton of them.
2 to 3 a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I finished The One Thing, and as soon as I finished it, I immediately went back to the beginning and started again. And I read
through. Can we talk about it on a show?
What's that?
Can we talk about it on a show?
Yeah. I think we should, because there's so much to it. But the reason I answered focus is because the title of the book, The One Thing. He says, if you want to be successful in life, you have to focus on the one thing and be relentless and do that one thing all the time and every time. And it's really fundamentally changed the way I look at my business and my future and what I'm doing. And I feel like for the first time in my life, I have an intention that's my own. It's not an intention that's been set by the culture. Like, you know, having a family has been great, but like that was never my intention. That was culture's intention. You know, the 9-to-5 job was not my intention. This is the first time in almost 50 years of being on the planet, I feel like this is my intention. So it's exciting. And I'd love to talk about it in more detail in an episode.
That is gorgeous.
Thanks.
I really love that. I have it on my Kindle. I haven't read it. So let's do a book club about it. We'll announce the day we're discussing it and people can read along with
us.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
For this message, go buy the book.
Yep.
So fabulous. I trust that. Mine is not nearly so focused as yours. Mine is much more nebulous, but mine is based on a tarot card that I drew. The Knight of Cups, and I drew it for like my year, and I drew it for January. So I figure it's pretty strong. The Knight of Cups, and it's about basically romance and about wearing your heart on your sleeve and being in love with the world or being in love with whatever you're in love with and just telling everybody about it, which is pretty much, you know, my favorite thing to do.
Yes.
And that's why I love teaching, is because I'm in love with writing and I love to share that. And I'm in love with essays and I'm in love with my fiction and just really being myself in the world and not being ashamed or trying to be proper, but really get excited about the things I get excited about and not care when people say you're too excited, Rachel.
No such thing. Your positive energy is undeniable. And if you tried to change that in any way, it would be phony. It wouldn't be you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just going to embrace it. I'm just going to be me all the fuck everywhere. I can't even focus it into one word. Like yours is focused, but I'm just going to wear my heart on my sleeve. I might like embroider a shirt with my heart on.
Do you think that's going to come out in your writing too? I mean, is that part of the plan here?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the plan. I think I always do that, but there's always a little piece of self-preservation that I'm always chipping away at when I'm writing, no matter what, no matter how deep I go into revealing what I believe and think. There's always something that says like, what do people say? And I usually manage to, you know, shove a sock in it. But this year, I just don't care. I'm just going to be talking. Kind of like I just talked about RWA. my heart is broken and I am willing to tell people that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that just being really open with my heart, sharing it all over the place.
I love it. Those are such
they're good.
Such
they're
a good little bunch of questions. And you know, I caught me off guard in a good way too. So I figured it was going to be something around the new year and new things and old things, but that was good.
Yeah. Yay. Okay. Excellent. Well, let's ask everybody else. what do they wish they'd done better in 2019 without beating themselves up? What are they proud of themselves for accomplishing or doing or attempting in 2019? And your intention for 2020.
Excellent. It's like getting three podcast episodes for the price of one.
I know. What could be better? All right. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Same to you.
All of our listeners.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yay. Okay. Bye.